Unit 38, that's a 2-1, the TAP 36. Copy, it's 1-4, show us on route, ETA 2 minutes.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to Running Code, the podcast where you, our viewers, get to know a little bit about us, the men and women that serve you on the Newport News Police Department. Captain, how are you?
I'm good, Melissa. It's great to see you and notice what I'm wearing. Oh, notice what I'm wearing.
If it wasn't for your wife.
Yeah, you're a Pittsburgh fan, right?
Wow. We're doing that. Shots fired, huh?
Shots fired. That's right. Go Bills.
All right. Let me know when you're done.
Okay. I'm done. All right.
Okay. One of my favorite people on the department is here with us today. Mm-hmm. Are you ready?
Yes.
How are you?
I am blessed. I'm glad to be here.
Good. Chief, you want to let everybody know who you are?
Hi, everybody. I am Assistant Chief Hires of the Newport News Police Department, and this is who I am, and I'm glad to be here.
Well, thank you for being here.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here. Chief, do you want to tell us a little bit about where you're from?
Oh, that's wonderful. I am from the great state of Georgia. I love it. Born and raised there up until age of 18, and then at that point, growing up on a country farm, living the country life. I mean, it was fabulous. I loved it. Then after high school graduation, there comes a split in your life where it's either college or military. And I tried the college thing for a little bit, but it didn't quite work out. So military, here I come. And it was one of the most outlandish things you've ever seen before in your life, because I never will forget it. You know, you get to the point where it's like the two choices, and where one didn't work and here's the last choice. And how it was so funny for me is that I remember going to, down in Georgia, we had these recruiting stations where every recruiter, every branch of the service is all in one building. So you just look down this long hallway, and I stood there in awe, like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? I didn't know which door to go into, because I saw the Marine, I saw the Air Force, I saw the Army, and I saw the Navy. And as I stood there drinking my bottle of water, I said, whichever door opens first, that's exactly where I'm going.
Oh my God.
And it was hilarious.
And that's what you did.
And that's what I did.
And which branch opened the door first?
And the Navy opened the door first. And I said, excuse me. Wow. What do you got for me?
Wow. And that's how your career began in the U.S. Navy?
That's how my career began in the Navy.
That's incredible. How many years did you serve in the Navy?
Wow. I did a total of approximately 23 years in the Navy. I did the active component for about 11. Wow. The active component, my original station was here in Norfolk, Virginia. So I've been an East Coast sailor, Mediterranean sailor my entire career. And after that point, after the active duty career, I went reserve unit. And reserve unit is when things start to evolve with the Newport News Police Department.
Interesting. Now, your military service took you overseas on a couple occasions.
Yes, it did.
Can you talk about where you've been?
Wow. You name it. I've been to Turkey, Egypt. Bahrain. I've been all over the Mediterranean. And it was a great joy.
I imagine that traveling overseas like that really expanded your mind.
Yes, it does. To see, it's nothing like expansion, or what I call growth, or seeing something different. Because remember, being from Georgia, it doesn't take much to kind of, if you've never been anywhere on the farm, it doesn't take much. So to see that, wow. to see the different nationalities and even joining the military, to see all different types of diversity and how things evolved, and going overseas just expands upon it more. And then also it brings back to saying that again, how common we are when it gets to the core of things.
Yeah, we have a lot of things in common. Yes. Even though we're from different places.
Absolutely.
So did you transition from the military straight to the police department?
Yes, I did.
Wow. How much of a gap was there?
No gap.
No.
There was zero.
No break, no vacation, no nothing. No, you just break, jump right in.
And like I said, I remember it. My last and final duty station was at a Naval Weapons Station in Yorktown. And then with, you know, being there, of course, we had the Navy housing that was patrolled by Newport News Police Department up on the north end of the city. And then after going through that, I remember one person that stands out was Officer Good.
Jamie Good.
Right. And yeah. I said, wow, that is one big police officer.
Yes, he is.
He was very tall.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And I was like, he is ginormous.
Yes.
So as I interacted with him at Gate 3, I guess that was his assigned area, I would interact with him more often and ask 1,000 questions whenever he was on patrol. So as I was like, I became an influence there. And then as I began more and more, I come across, at that time frame, it was Officer Mike Hudgens.
Oh, who was always here. Retired assistant chief.
Good guy. Chief Hudgens
and,
now.
And I would remember going to Central Precinct, and I would ring that doorbell because I couldn't get in. And I was says, I'd like to be a police officer. And every time that I rang that doorbell, it was always Chief Hudgens. And he'd come and he'd take me back to where the computers were, how they were in the lineup room, and be typing, and I'd ask 1,001 questions.
Wow.
And he'd give me a response. I was like, wow, I really like this. And then, you know, one of the biggest transitions that I enjoyed was in the military is when I was a military policeman in the Navy. And with that, I had one of the most influential persons that I could ever imagine, and I still see him today. And we meet monthly to have a cup of coffee, or we meet monthly via text or phone calls.
Wow.
And that was my mentor there that says that in the military, he informed me, he says, you are very influential. You are a leader. You are a person of good character. This is what your assignment is going to be. And I took that on board and ran with it and been with me ever since.
So he spotted that very early in your military career?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and that's kind of a component of leadership. Sometimes we as ourselves don't realize the potential that we have. Mm. And it takes somebody else to spot that and kind of kick us in the seat of the pants to get us in the right direction.
Yeah.
And that's what happened.
Yep.
And there was never any turning back.
No turning back. After experience and lifestyle changes and growth, it's just it really grew on me because Mr. Richardson taught me a lot.
Wow, that's incredible. And I know earlier you said that it was about the military or going to a university. The truth is that later you went to a university.
I did.
And you completed a couple of degrees. Can you tell us about those?
Well, as going through, I always learned one of the things in the military because, you know, in the military is always low ranking, gets the hardest jobs, the jobs that nobody ever wanted. Mm. So I was like, well, how can I do to improve? And then that's what Mr. Richardson would say, you can't always win by your hands or win by violence. You have to become more educated and more educated to get yourself out there and exposed to different things.
Right.
So that launched my career off when I would started school, and I started school at St. Leo University.
Right.
So what started all that at the Naval Weapons Station, I was noticed all my friends, they would leave work. And I said, where are you guys going? Oh, we're going to school. And I said, they're paying you to go to school? They said, yes, you ought to try it.
You ought to try it.
So that's what launched my career back off into education, in my secondary education. So I signed up for a course, and I was like, man, they allow you to come in late? What? You can't beat this. And then I said it was for free because it was tuition reimbursement or the GI Bill. It was for free.
Right.
And as I continued on, it's like, wow, I'm almost done. Look at what I have. I didn't know it. So then the transition over to the police department, and I realized on the police department, you know, again, going back to Mr. Richardson about leadership and all those good things about leadership and how he inspired me, then I realized that the only way to get into true leadership was to be part of the rank and file and to be more of an influential leader. That's what inspired that. In order to get that, you must have the education.
Right. And then that's when you went on to work on your master's degree.
I went on and completed my master's degree because at that time frame, it became a little comfortable. It became easy for me. I could grasp it. And I loved it, and I loved the learning experience of my classmates because I met classmates from all over the place, from the Army to the Air Force, you name it. They came in from all over, and we would meet in one classroom, and people would be on satellite from Chesapeake, Virginia Beach, North Carolina, and it was wonderful.
But even though you finished your master's degree, you never lost that love for learning.
No.
And I know that personally because you and I have had some incredible conversations about leadership. You are constantly trying your very best to learn more about leadership.
Yes.
And that's very notable because you're 25 or 26, Chief?
26.
26 years into your career and you're the consummate lifelong learner. You want to know about not only leadership, but things that are going on in policing and so forth and so on. But I know how passionate you are about leadership. You always have a book that you're looking at. You always have a book that you're reading, or you send me a video, and that's very fulfilling. I know one that had a lot of impact on me was the basketball coach.
Yes.
The basketball coach that was talking about how we need to do hard better. Mm-hmm. That was incredible. And I'll tell you, folks, if you have not seen that video, you need to check it out. If you're passionate about leadership, that's tip top. But I'm thankful for that. that you're that in embedded in the topic of leadership, because in the end it helps the people that you serve and that I serve and that we serve, because realistically, although we serve the public, we also serve the people in our charge.
Yes.
We're supposed to do good by them as well. So I'm very thankful for that. So you never stop learning, and every day you're learning something new.
Absolutely.
Well, so having said that about leadership, if I may, why is leadership so important to Eric Hires in his life?
Leadership is important to me because, again, as in growing up, growing up as a what we call a PK, preacher's kid, and as I would see my stepfather in the pulpit, and as I would see him going through every single day. And then the part about reading and learning is that, you know, as growing up, he had his own, I call it a studio, and it was a ginormous room where he would go in on Saturdays and Sundays. And it would start around Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And he had this ginormous room full of books, all types of books, where he would go in to get prepared for his sermon on Sunday. So as I learned about that and I watched how he was when he was growing up, and of course I was a teenager knucklehead and didn't understand it at that time frame. But as I began to walk into shoes to learn more about leadership, and I learned about that influence, and I learned about the most important thing to me is that adding value to people each and every day, regardless of how bad your day is on the inside, it's not always about that. It's about what you bring out to inspire someone else, because you never know the influence that you're going to have on someone in a split second. Having that influence, the only way that you can understand that is that you've got to continue to feed your knowledge. You've got to feed your insight to become more influential, because there are various things out there that you may not know and learn each and every day. And that's what inspired me to be more about leadership, because of that influence. And also, most importantly, is that influence to be intentional about it. Because I see it as we are like animals ourselves, and we can sense and we can feel different things. But one thing that you can talk about with others for me is that when I speak or when I'm around you, you'll know whether I like you or I don't like you, or he's a good guy. But one thing for sure, I will be influential, add value, and you know that what comes from me will be brutal conversation that will be the truth.
Yeah, and that's oftentimes what we need. I think the truth is what matters, and we sometimes need a kick in the pants to get us motivated.
A jump start.
Let's call it a jump start, shall we, instead of a kick in the pants, right?
Jump start. Yeah. So, Chief, 25 years.
Yes.
Where have you been? What have you been doing for 25 years that got you here?
I guess some would say I'm staying off the radar.
I don't know. No,
I don't know about that.
You're
I
in
don't
a spotlight.
Know.
No. The 25 years, it went by very quickly. And it goes so quickly, you can't imagine. And the only way that I can say they can go by very quickly, if you love what you do.
Right.
Because if there's any doubt that you don't love what you do, you will always say, man, I hate going to work today. Or what am I up against today? And it's no longer fun. And then if it's no longer fun, it starts to wear you down. And then that's when you become to see the cutting of the corners, the lackadaisical, and you can see that in people. But however, as being a leader, you can't do that, because my worst day is your best day, and I would never let that go. But the 25 years started off as patrol. Again, after graduating the academy, I went to South Precinct, and man, did I have some brutal field training officers. They were brutal.
Yeah.
And I can tell you there were some hard lessons learned there.
It's a different time,
so,
wasn't
yeah,
it?
So, yeah. I started out as a patrol officer, and I was learned to be a facet of mentors, of people who I would just remember, the Lewis Johnson, the Chris Wells, the you name it. Those guys were just strictly policing. So as I did a patrol thing, I become diverse in traffic, patrol operations. I did my accidents, investigations. And then I said I wanted to advance a little bit further, because I do believe in every 3 to 4 years, you've got to go from comfortable to uncomfortable in order to grow. You got to grow.
That's right.
So I said, let me try this. So then I went to the HIP unit, High Impact Patrol. And boy, was that a shocker. Shocker, I mean, to work for a retired Sergeant Shockley. Oh. Man, I tell you, that's a whole experience that you learn a whole lot. Mm-hmm. But the other side about working with Sergeant Shockley was like, you know, in a good way, positive community policing. It was rough, but it was community policing.
Right.
And then former Captain Myrie added the soft touch to it. So they balanced out. I did the high impact patrol for a thing. And I was like, man, this is rough. We don't know our schedule until the end of day one. And then tomorrow our schedule's adjusted like it was on the fly. But that was the purpose of the job. After that, I says, you know what? It's time for me to start changing things again. So I became a school resource officer. Went into the school resource officer program, and that was phenomenal. That was the case where I can actually remember having young kids or young adults just look at me as in saying, wow, who is this guy? And the things that I would do for the influence of going to basketball games, working out in the gym with them. I knew that I wasn't good at basketball, but I would go in there and clown around and play anyhow. Mm-hmm. I wasn't good at track, but Coach Pollard, I would get out there and said, I jumped one hurdle. He says, try jumping two. It's like, I took that to the extreme. I really took it to the extreme. And then after being in school resource officer, I realized that my time is up, time to make room and more growth. I came back to patrol, and at that time frame, I came back to midnight shift because I requested to come off of a good assignment. Went to midnight shift, and then next thing you know, I applied to become a property crimes detective. I did that for a few years. And then property crimes, I got promoted to sergeant. And then from sergeant, I went back to patrol again, midnight. And I think that was when the time frame that I worked with you, Captain Tejans.
We worked together, yes.
Yes, we did. And as being patrol, again, that was very good for me. Then I had went to internal affairs. And I did a good while internal affairs. And that was another wide-opening experience there to learn about leadership and what the precedents were for the Newport News Police Department and all about investigations, to learn what's actually the facts and which one is actually fiction, and to decipher. It's left up to you to find out which one is correct, and also it's for the agency. Internal affairs, again, I left there and went back to patrol, and working on patrol, I did that. I loved it, and I loved it. And then I came across the challenging time frames because being a sergeant, it seemed like it took a decade for me to get promoted to lieutenant. Got promoted to lieutenant, promotion to lieutenant. I think I went to Central Precinct. I loved it there. I loved it, and it was very challenging. Very challenging, again, to learn more about leadership, more about middle management, about how things work, feeding from my captain, and gaining all the knowledge that I can, spending a lot of time to learn what it takes to be a true leader and influential. Then after lieutenant, left Central Precinct, went South Precinct under, at that time frame, was Captain Bullhorse. And Captain Bullhorse, Chief Bullhorse in North Carolina, worked with Captain Bullhorse. And my job, as I told him, my job is to take your duties and responsibilities away from you. That whenever you're on a day off, it was like a day never missed. And when you come back, it's like things were just always intact. So eventually, after lieutenant, I became captain. And I didn't expect to become captain of South Precinct, but it was as if I'm running the South Precinct as a lieutenant. I can run it as a captain. And I thought it was a privilege. I was like, oh, my gosh, you left me here?
Yeah.
And being a captain for a while, again, I kept up the same motto, kept up the same aspects of things. I knew what was expected because I did it as a lieutenant. And I'm thankful for Captain Bullhorse for believing in succession planning, allowing me to, he delegated things, we had discussions, and he trusted in me that I would run the precinct. So being a captain was like easy. It was great. And then after a short period as being a captain, I got promoted up to assistant chief.
And here we are.
And here we are today. Wow. It's a blessing. It's a blessing.
You've done a great job along the way.
Yes.
And it's not because we work together. I have nothing to gain by telling you that. I could retire at any moment. But that's sincere. That's genuine. It's from the heart. So one of the things that we didn't talk about, and it's very obvious because you're very fit, is fitness is a big, big part of your life.
Yes.
And every day you're doing something to stay in shape.
That's correct.
What are some of your favorite activities?
To me, I believe in physical fitness on a daily basis, one, for your own medical reasons. And then also for not only your own medical reasons, you just don't want to put yourself in an awkward situation where you can't protect yourself or you can't protect your partner. And then also as part of that physical fitness for mind, health, and body, is that for the presence of others to see that you are still fit and somewhat form of healthy. Because again, being in this uniform, you know, as some would say, that people size you up just by who you are every single day. And if you can come out and be presentable in your uniform, you've already gained an ounce of respect from that individual. So I compile all of that, is that I remember as being a school resource officer, where actually in the military is when I started it all. But being in law enforcement, I dedicated myself to saying, you know what, an hour, 3 to 4 times a week, just go do what you can do. It's not a contest of how much you can lift, how fast you can run. It's just give your mind and body an hour to do something that it deserves.
Right. And we talked about that actually recently, when you were telling me at some point, three to four times a day, you got to take moments for yourself.
Yes.
It's not being selfish. It's about longevity and taking care of your body so that you can go those extra years.
Yes.
If you want to. So what do you think? Are we doing all right on time, Melissa?
I think so. I got another question, though.
Okay.
Chief, what do you do in your spare time off? What do you do that you just like to do when and if you have spare time off?
Not too much.
I will say the things that I enjoy the most is that, one, I just love being on the outdoors. I can be outdoors, you know, I can sit in my chair or my little fire pit outside, and I can actually go to sleep outside just sitting in my chair.
Wow.
You know, that's one of the most comfortable things and relaxing. And then, you know, it reflects me back to my rearing and my upbringing, just being outside in the country, because at some point growing up in the country, you weren't allowed to go inside. It was just to get water and go back outside. Right. And then it was drink out the water hose, and it was like, get back outside. So I love being outside. And one of the things about being outside is just being out there to enjoy the nature, being creative, and just find little odds and things to do. And then I got more back into motorcycle riding. So I purchased a Can-Am Spyder. And every moment that I get, I'm on that spyder and I'm gone.
It's very therapeutic for you?
Very therapeutic. I have no earpieces and nothing. You just
go.
The wind, just go, and you're looking around. Wow. And you forget about time.
And
you forget about distance.
Have you taken some good trips on it?
Yes, I have.
How far have you gone?
Wow. Accidentally, I've ended up in North Carolina.
Wrong turn?
Wrong turn. You get to seeing things as when you go over to Suffolk. And taking 17 and 13, you forget about it. A group of us, we've gone up as far as Arlington area, just getting out and riding. And it's amazing to ride somewhere far away, Moyock, just for lunch or a hamburger or a barbecue sandwich and come right back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's relaxing.
With a group of people you love.
Yes.
Very nice. I think we're about at that moment, are we, Matt?
Yeah, I think we can head into the rapid fire with Chief.
Sounds great. I've really enjoyed this.
This is going to be fun.
All right, after you.
I'm going first? Okay,
yes.
All right. Oh, this is a good one for a country boy. Hunting or fishing?
Hunting.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know.
Yeah, hunting.
Hmm.
But
you hunt?
To me, I would say it didn't matter.
Okay.
Because it was just the fact of, you know, as in growing up and being hunting, you know, I would say we started out with, we would get the horses and just go. It's like, wow, a horse? And yeah, just go, because they're quiet and easy. But as we grew up, we got older and technology improved, then it became to the little three runner. And then those became hazardous to us because it was only three wheels and
right.
We tipped over.
Right.
Then it became the quad runner.
Right.
So we get on the quad runner and we go into all these places, and they would go a lot longer than the horses and we'd have to worry about it. And we can go much further, much faster. So that's why it's like, I didn't shoot anything. It was just the fact of being out there and it's cold and hot and we just go.
No, it sounds like fun.
Yes.
For me, it's fishing. And I'm not a great fisherman, but I honestly, I've never been hunting. I've never been hunting.
Fishing. My fishing. Dad's taken me fishing a few times.
My son and his girlfriend are avid fisher persons. So, all right. Nice. R&B, country, jazz, or rock?
All of them.
Same.
For
you?
Yes, yeah. I listen to everything.
Yeah, if I had to listen to one all the time, it definitely would be smooth jazz. I'm a big smooth jazz fan. Love it. I listen to it at work. I don't know if I should tell you that, Chief.
Sure.
But I listen to it at work, and it keeps me nice and grounded.
So your office sounds like an elevator.
It does, and I love
it. Got it.
Yep.
Got it. Sunrises or sunsets?
Wow. I like the sunrises. the sunrise being that at once upon a time when I wasn't so busy, the sunrises, that's when that early morning run, the early morning walk, that early bird gets the worm or gets the early part of life, and it just gets you an advantage because it gets you stimulated first thing in the morning, and that's what I like the most. Yeah.
You it's an awakening.
Yes.
Absolutely. And we've talked about that one before, haven't we, Moss?
We have.
Yep. All righty. Text, call, email, or speak to someone in person.
Wow. I like speaking to someone in person.
I am on board with that.
So I used to be a text kind of person. I like text messages, but I have turned into either the call or the speak in person.
Yeah.
I think clarification.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. You can ask those clarifying questions, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm always a fan of that. And some of my best conversations have been with people I never knew until the moment I started speaking with them. Do you know what I mean? At the gas station, at the car wash. That's right. All right, last one's yours.
Okay. Favorite comfort food dish. Comfort food.
There's a laundry list. Oh my!
Southern cooking. I can't wait to hear this. My. Come on,
yeah.
Man. That's all over.
Mm-hmm.
It can range as far as, you know, a good chicken, some good fried catfish.
Mm.
I love the catfish. Grits. A favorite of grits.
I love grits.
I like okra. Fried okra, that is, and the baked salmon with the honey glaze, wild-caught salmon. I mean, a good wild-caught salmon with honey glaze, and it's just any country dish that you can think of, and I'll try it all. I'm not allergic to anything, and I will take anything, and once upon a time, I didn't like spinach, but I had a spinach casserole, and I'm starting to grow on spinach.
Okay, good. Yep. Do you cook?
Yes, I do.
I think I remember that about you. So you cook.
Yes, I do.
Southern dishes, as a matter of fact.
Absolutely.
From dishes that you kind of grew up with?
Dishes that I kind of grew up with, and I'm always on a recipe.com website that things
awesome.
Will pop up.
That is awesome.
And I was seeing, I was like, wow, that is great. Yeah. You know, for the holidays, I made I made some cowboy spaghetti. And I was like, wow, that was pretty good.
I don't know never what that is.
But we're going to have to talk. Yeah. I need to know what that is.
Sounds fascinating, doesn't it?
Cowboy spaghetti.
Yeah. Do you have a comfort food, Melissa?
So I don't want to get this wrong. If it's my mom cooking it for me.
Okay.
Wink, wink, mom. Smothered pork chops.
Oh,
that's good. Okay.
I would say they make you smack your mama, but I would never.
No.
But if it's my dad, because we are Creole.
Yes.
His gumbo. Oh my God, I could have the worst day ever. And he'll come down and put on a big gumbo pot.
Oh,
and
awesome.
My world is, both of those meals fix everything for me.
Yes. Yeah. For me, it's an Italian dish called pasta e patate, which is pasta with potatoes. Mm-hmm. And my mother makes it incredibly well. And she taught my wife, Jessica, how to make it. And she makes it incredibly well. So that's kind of like my go-to comfort food.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm down and out, have a bowl of that, and I'm right back up. I'm good to go.
Fixes so, everything.
Yeah, what a pleasure, Chief. It's been here and having the time to speak with you. You're a fascinating individual. You leadership like comes right out of your pores. I mean, it's so evident, and you give so much of your time to everyone. And again, I have nothing to gain by telling you what I'm telling you. This is I'm sincere, but you're always giving. You're always worrying about Eric Hires last.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's one of the finest qualities that you possess as a leader is that you put your leaders eat last. That is your mentality is I will eat when the troops have eaten and then I will eat only then. And that is a quality that we as subordinates, using the military term, value. Because when we see that, we know that you have our best interest.
Yes.
So thank you for that. And thanks for being here with us today. It's been an absolute joy as always. Right, Melissa?
Yeah. I told you this was going to be a giggly interview.
Yeah.
I giggled my way through it today.
Yeah. And I hope and I hope that you folks continue to watch us, that you push all those buttons, Melissa,
all
that you
buttons,
talk about.
Spotify, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube.
Yep.
Am I missing any, Matt?
They can find us pretty much anywhere you can find a podcast.
That's right.
Apple Podcasts, too. Look us up there.
Yeah. Yes. Thanks for joining us today. Cheers, everyone.
All right. Thank you.